Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. We talk about a lot on this program about the importance of putting in the work and being passionate about what we love, and then, of course, being able to see the rewards coming in. Our next guest has definitely been able to do just that. We're excited to welcome to our program Olatunde Olusunsami. We're going to talk to him not only about his journey as a writer, producer, and director, but what it's been like for him to see the hard work he's put in over the years, how it's paid off for him, especially this year. A lot of you know him, of course, as the director for this last season of Falling Skies. We'll talk to him about that, but also just about the overall experience of doing what he loves and seeing that work appreciated. Olatunde, hello to you, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Look, we're really excited about having you on. I know that there's so much that is kind of vying for your time right now, so we really appreciate that time. I mentioned to you before we went live here that I think that most of the conversations this year have been about Falling Skies, and we'll definitely talk about that. I want to, you know, the thing I thought was so interesting about you, though, is that it seems as though for a lot of people that you came out of nowhere. But I think in preparing for this segment, I saw you really have put in the work for quite some time. What has it been like for you, Olatunde, to be able to see all that work be rewarded, especially in a year like this for Falling Skies?
Oh, well, it's tremendous. I mean, because I think what ends up happening when you are working the long nights and the early mornings and you forget to eat and all those other shenanigans, you forget that at the end of the day, someone's going to watch something that you put your entire heart into, and that they're either going to love it or they're going to hate it. And luckily, this last year and a half, they've seemed to have liked it more than they've not liked it. So that's always a good thing. But yeah, it's really rewarding. And unfortunately, the way this industry works and a lot of other industries, you spend more time doing the work and less time able to enjoy it. But those moments when you do get to enjoy it is really special.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because, one thing I'm learning, Olatunde, is the importance of looking back and reflecting. I mean, does it seem like for you, as I said, for some people, there was so much attention, on you this year because of directing what was, the end for Falling Skies. And I noticed in one panel discussion, you're there with the cast and discussing that. I mean, does it feel like for you, though, that everything you've done over the past decade has really prepared you for this moment where you are now?
Oh, absolutely. I don't really believe in people coming out of nowhere. I think most of the people that we see that we are suddenly aware of have put in a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes. And so when you go back and examine their histories, you'll find that they sweated blood and tears before they got to where they were. And I don't think I'm any different. And I haven't achieved what I feel is nearly. I don't feel like I'm finished. I'm really hoping I'm just getting started. This journey for me, it started years ago. Before I even went into my first year of college, I was really into writing and writing novels, none of which have been published. But that whole experience writing, I guess now for the last 20, 25 years, prepared me to be a screenwriter. Then you go through the whole, I went to Chapman University and majored in film and graduated from there and interned and went through the whole gamut of while I'm interning and while I'm working as a PA, which is like the lowest of the low on a film set or on a TV
right.
set, writing in the morning before I went into work and writing at night when I got home. And I got good enough at PA that I could do it almost mindlessly and be able to basically figure out structure and jot down notes of the current script I was working on while I was working, just take a quick moment here or there to write it down so I wouldn't forget by the end of the day. So I went through 10 years of that as a PA and did a little bit of assistant coordinator and coordinated in the middle of that. One day, a friend of mine called up and said, hey, I've got $150,000. write it and direct it, I'll produce a movie for you. So that was my first movie, The Cavern. And then right after that, I swallowed my pride and went right back to PA because I needed the money. Victory doesn't happen overnight. Then I was PA'ing on Smoking Aces. And just cut me off if I'm rambling here.
No, you're good.
I forgot to tell you. Yeah. So then I went back to work as a PA on Smoking Aces, which was a Universal film directed by Joe Carnahan. And I was in the kitchen, and I was cleaning up the kitchen and redoing the coffee and putting the milk from the grocery store in the fridge. And this guy came in and said, hey, my name is Joe Carnahan. What do you do? I'm a PA. I said, okay, well, I'm directing the movie. What were you doing before this? And I said, I was a director on a low-budget indie. And he laughed, and he said, so you went from a director back to a PA. Like, you must not have much of an ego. And I said, no, I just want to win, you know, eventually, and I'll do whatever it takes. And he said, well, let me check out your movie. So he was 2 weeks out from shooting his movie, which is a crazy time for a director. But he watched it that night and came back and said, I want to mentor you. So I said, okay, well, what does that mean? He's like, why don't you be my assistant? I said, okay. So I became his assistant and followed him around for a year and a half, and it was terrific. Got to learn the ins and outs of a major motion picture director. And, you know, assisting is all the same thing you do as a PA, getting coffee, taking care of the schedule. But it's a tremendous learning experience. And at some point during that, my tenure with him, I said, hey, you know, I want to do a movie. I want to write a movie called The Fourth Kind, and here's a story. So I pitched it to him. And he said, if you write it, I'll help you get it made. And, you know, I rolled my eyes because obviously getting the movie made is harder than someone just saying they're going to help you do it. But, you know, I wrote it over Christmas break because that's pretty much the only time when you're not working in this industry if you're fortunate enough to have a job through that, through that later half of the year, and he loved it, fell in love with it, and there began the 5-year odyssey of me going around to different parts of the world, Iceland, England, Germany, trying to raise the money to sell this thing, and ultimately ended up coming back home and giving it to a company called Gold Circle Films. And they flipped for it, we ended up, I met with Mila Jovovich, and she really loved the story, loved my vision for it. And 8 months later, I was in Bulgaria directing it, and my life changed forever. But I think the important part of that process for me, though, was all the people I met along the way as a PA. Because PAing is hard work, it's grunt work, and no one likes to do it, but it's a great way to build relationships. And to meet people that there's really no other way to meet. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah. And, you know, and what you just shared, though, I think says so much not only about who you are as an individual, but also the passion that burns in you for what you do. Because it seems as like, for me, Olatunde, and even in just hearing you talk about it there, that it was just a desire to be around what you love. I mean, no matter how you could be, whether you were directing or, you know, a PA, you know, was that kind of the attitude that you felt, that you just wanted to make sure that you stayed in that zone, being able to stay in that place where creativity was something that was appreciated?
Absolutely. You know, passion is such an underrated thing. But I loved and I love filmmaking, whether it be for TV or for movies. I love storytelling so much that even just PAing and even just being able to peek on the set and see what they were doing or seeing what was going on in the office behind the scenes that was propelling the set forward. I soaked all of that in. And even now, every single day is an opportunity to learn more and see, oh, that's an interesting way of doing things. Or I could put the camera over here. Or, well, why did that producer make this decision? You know, all that stuff is, I think it's important to eat all that up.
Amazing. You know, let me ask you this, Olatunde, when it comes to the what's next, because it seems like one thing that is kind of a consistent thing for you is that you seem to love that, you know, that supernatural genre, that sci-fi genre. I mean, is part of the attraction to that the idea of what is next for you, even when it comes to your own career? I mean, what is out there? What is, you know, what is next for me to be able to do?
Well, the main motivation for why I'm attracted to this kind of thing, to these genres, is actually goes back to when I was a kid. I, for whatever reason, have always been fascinated with the stars, according to my parents. They don't know where it came from or why, but that's been my thing. You know, what's going on with the planets, what the different planets in the solar system are, galaxies. And with that sense of wonder, there's also been a little bit of terror. I've had nightmares as a kid, when I was a kid, of different aliens coming to visit in bedrooms and stuff like that. And so I, particularly when the subject matter has to do with aliens, I'm just all over it, because I feel like every alien story that I am fortunate enough to do is an opportunity to examine what would it really be like if we were visited by an alien species. How would humans react? What would that alien species do? What are the different scenarios that could possibly occur in the most realistic fashion? And so I think it's wonderful to be able to have the opportunity to be able to play out these different variations of parallel realities, I guess you could call them, and to do it as a storyteller, and do it as a director, and do it as a writer. So if there's the one thing beyond just, because making movies is fun, right? But I think what's important is to also, what is the reason why you want to make a movie, like, or do a television show? Like, what's the story that you want to tell, or what's the feeling you want to convey? I think those, if you can figure out what the underlying what the underlying reason is behind all that, it makes all the tough times a lot easier.
Wow, what a great way to look at things. We're going to talk more about that, as well as the new projects coming up here in a moment. But for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome to our program today Olatunde Oshinsanmi. We're talking to him not only about his journey as a writer, producer, and director, what it's been like for him to be on, you know, one of the big shows on television that wrapped up its final season of this year that he got a chance to direct, that being Fallen Skies, but also, you know, what led up to this moment. And I think, as he talked about with us, his directorial debut in 2009, but even before that, you know, working as a PA, a production assistant, and being involved there, but always being consistent in his passion for what he's doing. Now, you know, there is, as I was just saying, Olatunde, about the what's next, you know, one of the things that was announced just last month was, of course, the new genre label that's being launched by Ridley Scott. And, of course, your name came up because you're going to be directing The Twisted with that, with Scott Free Productions. I mean, what does that feel like to be connected with such a powerful brand like Ridley Scott?
Oh, it's crazy. You know, I've been watching his movies from the beginning and been learning from him. He's been teaching me from the beginning just by watching his director's commentary. I mean, the first one I'd ever listened to was Alien. And, you know, he goes through why he's doing what he's doing, why he was doing what he's doing, and more importantly, the challenges that he had to face while he was doing them. And so, you know, basically my friends in film school, we called Ridley Scott the teacher. That was his nickname, because that's how in-depth he gets in his giant scenes. And to this day, he does directive commentary on all his movies, and it's great. And so when I finally got to meet him, it was kind of wild. And it's an interesting story I have with Scott Free, which is his company, because when I was working for Joe Carnahan, who I mentioned earlier, his mentor was Tony Scott, right? And Tony Scott obviously has this company with Ridley Scott called RSA and Scott Free, and they're based here in Beverly Hills. And so I worked out of the offices, but I never actually met Ridley. You know, he was just the big shadowy figure in the background that none of us really got to talk to. So now coming full circle and actually getting to meet him and work with him on this project is really a dream come true. Because I feel like I owe a lot of my visual style to him.
Wow. You know, hearing you talk about him made me think about how people now see you, Olatunde, because, you know, again, as I said when I was prepping for the segment and I joked with you that one of the reasons I was watching interviews with you from earlier is because I wanted to make sure I was pronouncing your name correctly, but I also wanted to be able to hear, you know, some of what you've been able to say. And as I said, a lot of it, of course, this year has been about Falling Skies, which is totally understandable. And I watched a great roundtable, as it were, a forum with yourself and some of the cast members. But I bring that up for this reason, because I think what is so interesting, because as you talked about Ridley Scott, for some people now, you are that example for them as to what they can do and how they can do it just by watching you. You talked about Ridley Scott, you know, giving these great commentaries. What has that been like for you to not only to be known for what you do as a writer, producer, director, but also as an example for other people as to what's possible for them?
Well, it's very interesting. I don't really think about it much. I'm so busy focused on the current project I'm on. I think I mentioned earlier, I rarely step out to enjoy the audience reaction. But on the flip side, besides the audience, there's this group of people that are aspiring to do what I'm doing now. And I look at them and I think, it's totally possible, and I hope that this person doesn't give up before they have the opportunity to have it happen for them. And I think about all the people that came before me who look like me, who had a lot harder time because of different race barriers or class barriors or whatever it may be, who had a harder time getting to what they want, but made it easier for me coming along. And I just hope that I make it easier for the next generation coming along. So I think when I stop to actually really think about it like I am now, I think it's all of those different things in play, that I hope that I make it easier for the next generation. Thank God that the first, second, and third generation came before me to make it easier for me now.
Yeah. Have you always believed that where you are now was possible?
Yes. I was fortunate enough to be raised by parents who believe in the American dream. And came over from Nigeria, I guess, almost 50 years from now, like 50 years ago, and said that, there's a lot wrong with this country, but the one thing that is right about this country is that the more work you put in, the more work you get out of it. And that's not a definite thing, and it of course, doesn't happen for everybody, but those are the odds. Right, that the more work you put in is what you get. Now, a place like Nigeria, who is my other home, and I adore Nigeria, but it also has a lot of problems. And it's what you put in isn't always what you get out. There's so many intelligent, ingenious people in that country, but most of them are not getting what they deserve out of that country. But in the United States, you can dream big, and it's okay to dream big. Right, you don't have to feel bad about dreaming big and dreaming in a way that, putting yourself in the middle of a dream that says, "I want it all." It's almost encouraged here, right? And I was fortunate enough to be raised by parents who from the get-go have always said, "This is the place where dreams come true." So I was completely, I guess you could say, you could call it naive, in thinking that if I want to be a director one day, or if I want to be an astronaut, or whatever it is I want to be, that it's going to happen. I just need to work harder than anybody else, and to not give up. And I was also fortunate to have parents who, rose from the very bottom of society when they came over to, doing very well right now. So for me to be able to see that was very inspiring, to see it up close like that. So I think the question is, I've always believed that if whatever I wanted to do would eventually happen. I was fortunate to have that happen so far.
I began the conversation with talking about Fallen Skies and that being one of the big things people talk about this year. So I'll end this segment by talking a little bit more about that, because I know for some people that's what they're tuned in for this conversation to hear about. was it difficult to say goodbye? I typically ask that question of authors I'll attend on this program that have written series and they've made a decision that this is going to be it. This is going to be the book that kind of ends, this saga. I mean, was it difficult for you to say goodbye to those characters? And I bring up again one of the YouTube videos I was able to watch with that round table, and one of the cast members said this will probably be the last time that we all share states together discussing this show. I mean, so, and you were a part of that discussion, so was it difficult?
Oh, yeah, it was difficult. And it's difficult because I was a fan of the show before I started working on it, before I knew any of those guys, except for Will. Will Patton I'd known from the fourth time. He actually recommended me to come and direct the first couple episodes, which is how I became affiliated with the show in the first place. It's difficult for two reasons. Number one, I love the characters, and I come to love the cast behind the characters and realize how hard they worked day in and day out and really came to respect them and just really love them as individuals. You become a family, particularly on a TV show, which is a bit different from a movie. On a TV show, it's just a lot longer and the grind is harder and you have to be good every time out. And it was difficult getting to the goodbye moment, I should say, because here I was coming in the fifth season as a producer now, not just as a director. And I felt extremely responsible for making sure the show went out in the best way possible. And so, you know, coupled with the pressure that you feel from the fans is my own pressure because I'm a fan of the show. It's tough. And the good thing is, so far we've all, you know, the cast, myself, other crew members, we've all been keeping in touch. And you know, I was fortunate to come do a couple episodes of Minority Report, which is a movie being turned into a TV show. I think it's had its first two episodes air, and half of that crew is actually my same crew from Fallen Skies. So that was really nice, kind of family reunion of sorts.
Well, you know what I think is so interesting? I'm a person that's kind of a weird talk show host, I guess, in a sense, Olatunde, because I don't focus so much on numbers for the show. I always judge the success of it by conversations like this. Like, I really am enjoying this conversation, so to me, this show is a thumbs up. So, you know, other people, of course, will worry about, well, how many people tune in or how many, you know, are going to listen to the podcast or, you know, that kind of thing. The reason I bring up numbers is because when I was prepping for this, I thought never looked at the numbers for Falling Skies before. And when I looked at this last season and saw that, you know, almost 2 million people consistently were tuning in, you know, every week, you know, for this last season. I mean, that is really just amazing. I mean, are you one of those people that you're more satisfied by the way it feels for you more so than, you know, what the other side of it, what the business side of it says makes it a success?
Oh, yeah. I've never, man, my overlords at TNT and Fox or wherever will hate me saying this, but I've never really cared much for the money side of things and how much it makes in the end. I'm more in it for, how it makes me feel and how it makes whoever's watching it feel. Where the financial chips fall, they can fall wherever they may. I can only hope that my tastes and the tastes of the hardcore fans are in line with the rest of the world. And luckily, fortunately, for most of my career, they have been. It's just been a byproduct as opposed to the primary concern. I just happen to be working in a genre that's very commercial and it's becoming more and more commercial. By the day, by the year, and it's exportable to all corners of the world because sci-fi, you can deal with certain issues and social issues in sci-fi that you may not be able to in other genres. For me, it's always about the art first or the craft first and the number second.
Yeah. I want to read the last tweet that was posted to the Falling Skies official Twitter page at Falling Skies TNT because I thought it was so interesting and I want to ask the question of you. The last tweet came on September the 3rd and it said, "It required determination and strength, but the end goal was worth it." What did you think of the Falling Skies finale? So what about you? Do you feel as though it ended the way it needed to end?
I do. Behind the scenes, finales are tough, right? I mentioned the pressure, you know, that you're putting on yourself and that you're getting from the fans. You just want it to be really good. And the hardest part about a show like Falling Skies is you have, 15 characters that all need their stories wrapped up because each one of those characters, the audience is tied. Someone in the audience is tied to one of those characters more than another. So you really want to pay that stuff off. I thought, considering all the challenges we had in front of us, that was the best possible conclusion to this show that had been going on for 5 years. I tried to take a step away. It's because it's partial because I was a part of it. I tried to take a step away. If I were just a fan, what would I think, about this finale?
Right.
And I think I would have enjoyed it. I think I would have really felt like it ended the way it should have.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That is something that, people, I think, they hated to see it end. I noticed a lot of the comments came from, okay, that's sad. Okay, then when's the movie coming?
You're right.
I mean? So that, you know, we're never satisfied, Olatunde. I mean, we always want more. I mean, when you like something, you don't want to say goodbye, you know, and that's the thing. It has to be something for the fans that have, as you said, been with you for five seasons. I mean, it's an amazing thing. But I think we know that there's so much more to come, you know, for you, and I really appreciate your taking out this time to be with us. Again, everyone, Olatunde Oshinsami has been our guest. He's a writer, director, producer, an individual who's definitely doing the kind of work that he loves, and he's able to take all of us along for the ride, as well as set an example for us as to what is possible for us with hard work, dedication, and belief in oneself and in one's ability. And I think that's what you've been able to show, Olatunde. You are on social media. At Center Will Hold is where they can find you on Twitter, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Yeah, and thanks for having me here, Cyrus. I've really enjoyed my conversation with you.
Hey, man, the pleasure's definitely all mine. Hey, look, we'll definitely make that happen. I want to thank our good friend Makita Smith for setting up this conversation with Jasmine PR for sure. And, look, continued blessings to you all attuned, and looking forward to that next conversation with you.
Great, thanks. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right, you do the same thing. Again, everyone, Olatunde Oshinsami has been our guest. Make sure you guys are following him on Twitter, at Center Will Hold is where you guys can find him there to keep up with all the great things coming up for him. As we said, Fallen Skies is gone, but there are so many other great projects that are coming up, so you definitely make sure you're staying connected with him to keep up with those. Again, we do thank Makita Smith with Jasmine for setting up this conversation with us, and thank all of you for tuning in on the radio side and online for another edition of Conversations Live. For our radio audience, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come at the bottom of the hour. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link, listen to the show completely for free, and even share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.